serving veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and this special program marking 75 years since the start of the Battle of Okinawa, where more than 12,000 Americans gave their lives. Seth Irving grew up on the Oglala Lakota Reservation in Pine Ridge, South Dakota. 23 men from that reservation were killed during World War II. 75 years ago this week, on April 6, 1945, he came oh so close to becoming number 24. Five kamikazes would strike the destroyer USS Newcomb that day.
Well, they were coming directly from Japan, one thing. Before that, they were coming off of aircraft carriers, which they didn't have anymore.
Yeah, they were out of them.
Yeah.
Thanks to the Navy.
They ran out of them. But at Okinawa, they were coming directly from the island of Japan. Now, we went to Okinawa about 3-4 days and bombarded, and then the Marines came and Army came and landed. Then we went on picket duty, they called. All the destroyers were lined up around, kind of half circle around the island. And we were on the northernmost part of that circle. April 6, 1945, approximately 4:30, 5 o'clock, we got a report that over 500 kamikaze planes were leaving Japan.
And you still weren't scared?
No, we got prepared to fight.
Holy moly.
Yeah. And then, you know, we had a lot of aircraft carriers around. They released their, and they shot down approximately half of them, or a little over a half. So there's only about 200 or something got through into the ship area. And that's when we got into it.
So you're on your 40-millimeter mount.
I was on my 40-millimeter mount, but I wasn't firing on anybody because my ship must have been going east. The planes came from the north. And so the port side man, he was firing on them, but we were at a standstill because there was nothing coming past.
So you're just sitting there waiting to get something to shoot at.
Sitting there waiting for somebody to tell us there's a plane here or there. But the first kamikaze that broke through, I had a rangefinder. He was on the phone with the control. We told him where the planes were, and he would set the range on that gun sight. And he's the one that told me, he said, "Hit the deck, Seth. There's the plane coming." So I don't know how I did it. I unhooked, and I didn't hit the deck. By that time, it blew me into the water.
You didn't hit the deck because the plane hit your ship before you had a chance to hit the deck.
Yes. All I could see was planes coming. That's all I remember anyway. I must have lost it, but I wound up in the water.
So the impact of this kamikaze on your ship blew you right into the water.
Yeah.
Means the ship hit, the plane hit pretty close to where you were.
Yeah, it hit about the middle of the stack. And the stack that I was on threw me and bent over, and I guess that's what happened to me. But that rangefinder didn't make it.
A lot of guys didn't make it.
Yeah. No, I had a 10-man gun crew. I was the only survivor on that gun crew. Of the other gun crew, there was only one survivor off of that one. I was firing at it. And then after I got into the water, the propeller must have missed me by 2-3 feet.
So you're in the water, you're conscious, you're burnt, well, and this propeller is flying right at you? The propeller from the plane, or you're talking about?
Our propeller.
Your ship. You almost got caught in the screws of the destroyer.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I must have been underwater because I could hear it just mumble. And I came up, and that screw, you know, was pushing the water, and it just pushed me out of the way.
Wow.
It pushed me about 100 feet or more away from the ship.
I'm sure you're still pretty stunned and dazed, but how much pain were you in?
I don't remember being in any pain. All I know is that when I was strapped in, I had a steel helmet on, I had a capot jacket on, and all of my clothes were gone. I was bare
You were naked in the water?
Yeah. I didn't have no shoes. I was burned from my hair was all burned off to about my knee, all on the front side, you know.
So the explosion blew all your clothes off, yeah. Your helmet off, yeah. Burnt all your hair off, yeah. And burnt you from head to knee.
Yeah.
But you weren't in pain.
I don't feel pain. I don't know why. I just didn't feel pain.
What went through your mind when you realized what kind of condition you were in?
Survival, I guess. That's when survival takes over. I was in that water from about 4:30 until about 10 o'clock at night. Now, that was the scariest part, because you start getting scared, you know.
Well, yeah.
Because of the sharks, etc. I was really scared. And during that period, from about 4:30, 5 o'clock, there was a burnt life raft came floating by, and I jumped onto it. I thought I was going to get saved, but there was nothing on there. It was just burnt. And I was riding it along like that in a ship, and in maybe 2-3 hours, and it was getting dark, and I saw a silhouette of a destroyer sitting there, and I noticed that I was going to miss it by floating, you know.
Yeah, you're floating on this raft, and, yeah. And it's going to take you away from the destroyer.
Yeah, so I abandoned the raft. I figured even though that ship probably couldn't pick me up because they're still under attack, you know.
Yeah, it's not like you can hit the timeout button, come pick me up. They're still fighting each other.
Yeah, and so I was just about ready to get to that ship, and it took off. Of course, on that water, it just pushed me back out of the wind. There I was with nothing, just swimming by myself. I didn't have nothing on me.
So you're naked, you're burnt, you've already been in the water for 3 hours, and now your chance at survival just
vanished.
Went away from you.
Yeah.
Did you think you were going to die in that moment?
Yes, I did. I figured I don't think I could make it till morning.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you hear stories about ships and survivors on life rafts for 4 or 5 days, some weeks, some. But I didn't think I was going to make it. Then it was pitch dark, and then I was floating and floating, and it was dark, and all of a sudden I saw a flicker of light, just barely saw it. I started screaming, you know. That light came right up to me, and they picked me up around 10 o'clock at night. And, of course, they gave me morphine and put me out within a half an hour, within 15 minutes while I was aboard that ship. I got up by the ship, and guys came down on a
rope ladder?
Yeah.
To get you?
To get me. And they grabbed my hand like that, and that slipped and fell back into the water.
Did they just pull the skin off your arms?
Yeah.
Ouch.
I was burned, you know. I didn't realize it either.
They didn't realize it either?
No, they didn't know it, you know. The next group came down, they raised me up out of there.
That had to be painful, or you were still kind of numb or in shock. Huh?
I must have been in shock, because I don't even remember pain. All I remember, I was saved. I know that within 15 minutes, I was treated, you know. Whatever they did was right. The next morning, that ship transferred me over to a transport that was transporting troops.
Uh-huh.
Was converted to a hospital ship,
mm-hmm.
And I was transferred to it.
You mentioned when you first found yourself in the water and took stock of the situation that you were concerned about sharks, about, you know, the enemy that was still firing away.
Yeah.
Did you see any sharks during those 6 hours?
Nope.
Good thing.
No. And another strange thing is I didn't see another body.
Nothing.
Nothing. I don't know if that propeller caught me alone and sent me out that way.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I looked and looked and looked, because I was wanting to be picked up right away, you know.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. But I didn't see a soul. I was out there for them 6 hours alone.
6 hours?
Yeah.
How long did it feel like?
Lifetime, really. Oh, howdy.
I've talked to some guys who've been in similar situations in the water for a long time. And some guys will describe doing things to keep their mind occupied or thinking through different scenarios. Or some guys would say a prayer. They'd frantically, you know, try to get someone else's attention. What did you do? How did you pass that time?
I don't remember.
I mean, mentally, what was going through your mind? Were you saying a prayer? Were you saying, I'm going to make it? I know I can? I mean, how did you keep going? Where did you find that hope and that persistence to power through?
All I know is I had to survive, you know.
Yeah.
And I did whatever I could. I never saw a shark, and I never saw another human being in there. That burnt wrap was the only thing that I saw, and I should have stuck to it, but I didn't.
Well, what do you think would have happened to you if that raft didn't float by?
I probably would have died. I probably would have let myself die. I was never a good swimmer, but I stayed afloat.
And that 3 hours made a big difference, I'm sure, to have that raft.
Yeah.
Another question that comes to mind. Sorry for all my crazy questions. But you said something when that kamikaze hit. And again, you got the word that something was coming. And just before it hits, you unbuckle. If you did not unstrap yourself from that position, what do you think would have happened?
I would have been drowned, because I think that, although that guy told me to unbuckle, and I did, and he didn't, because he didn't survive.
He probably didn't have time.
He must have not unbuckled.
Yeah.
And went down with the...
So the whole gun mount went into the water.
Yeah.
So you would have been trapped, if not killed by the impact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or else drowned.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how far down it went. But I know I didn't go very far in, because I came up and I just threw some salt water out. But it wasn't that much. So I must have just went in and out, you know.
And just the fact that of your 10-man crew, you were the only one to survive, and that the other gun crew had the same ratio. I mean, that in itself says you beat some pretty significant odds to survive.
Boy, hardly we did. Well.
How do you explain it?
I have no answer to that, because 84 of my shipmates died that evening amidships. All those torpedo men, they were right in that, and that stack was above a engine room, and it blew. That was engine room number 2. That blew the same time I got it, and all those guys didn't survive. There were some survivors. Of course, the first plane got me.
Yeah.
But there was 4 other planes hit that ship.
5 kamikazes on 1 destroyer.
Yes.
But it didn't sink.
It didn't sink.
Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing.
1 well-placed kamikaze was plenty to sink a destroyer, if not a bigger ship, at other places in the war.
Right. Now, those destroyers were really built strong.
Well, so that ended the war for you, obviously.
Yes.
How long did it take you to recover from all this, and what was that period like?
You know, I was all bandaged up completely, so I didn't see daylight after I got on board that ship. My eyes must have been burnt bad.
You could see, but all the flesh around your eyes was
burnt. I didn't see anything.
In the water, did you see
anything? No.
In the water, you saw the light coming to you and all that.
In the water, I saw it after they treated me.
Right.
And they put stuff on me, and they must have put bandage that thick on me. I don't know what they did.
But anyway, they bandaged you from your head all the way down.
All the way down. I was bandaged all the way down. I was burned all the way down. And so I didn't see daylight until I got released from the hospital at the Guam Burn Unit. That must have been 30 days later.
Wow.
So I was without sight. I didn't see anything. But apparently I could see, you know.
But you were just covered up.
I was just covered up.
Well, that's a lot of time to think.
Yeah.
30 days with no one to look at.
Yeah.
You can hear people. You can't see them. What did you think about for 30 days? Did you think, I'm going to go back home and go marry a girl from my reservation? Or what were you thinking about?
I was just thinking about getting well.
Yeah.
I didn't think about anything else, you know, and I wasn't the only one. There was 1,000 burn victims at that Guam burn unit, and I didn't know that until after they let me out.
When I asked you about how hard it was for you, one of the things you responded with was you were thinking about those guys that got killed on your ship. I imagine you knew a lot of those guys pretty well.
Well, not really that well, but I knew them.
The guys in your crew, your gun crew?
Yeah. I knew the guys in my gun crew, and I knew the guys who slept in my quarters, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was the quarters captain. I had to keep order in the sleeping quarter area. That was one of my jobs before I go to general quarters.
That whole time that you were in the hospital and recovering. Did you ever have any contact with family at all?
No.
Nothing?
Nope. They didn't know where I was, and I didn't know where they were.
You were even.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at your record here, and this says you were transferred back to your destroyer, the Newcomb, in August of 45, right before the end of the war.
Yes.
What was that like to get back aboard that ship?
All the time when I was still in the hospital.
Yeah.
It was towed back from Okinawa all the way to San Francisco. And, of course, I didn't know where it was at. I didn't even know it was still afloat.
Uh-huh. So they bring you back to San Francisco, and then you have 30 days survivor's leave. And they call it that because guys who lose people close to them in combat have that time to cope with it. Yeah. What did you do for those 30 days?
That's when I met her. Came back to Pine Ridge. I don't know exactly how I did it, because the train comes from San Francisco to Alliance, Nebraska, which is 90 miles from Pine Ridge.
Uh-huh.
And I must have caught a ride back. There were a lot of people from the tribe that was working in Alliance. They had a glider factory in Alliance, Nebraska, and a lot of the Indians from my reservation worked at that station.
Uh-huh.
And so there, I caught a ride back with one of them who was going back to Pine Ridge, you know. They left me there.
Were any of your family members there to greet you?
One of my distant family members was the only one there, so I stayed with her.
Tell me how you met your wife.
Well, I was home on 30 days leave.
Yeah.
And she was home for 30 days from school, nursing school.
Uh-huh.
We met then.
So the burn patient meets a nurse.
Yeah.
You'd known each other for a long time, but you hadn't thought of it this way before.
No, huh?
So when did you realize that you need to ask Elfrieda to marry you? Did you figure it right then on that leave, or did it take a while?
We got engaged, so to speak.
While you were home on leave?
Yeah. If you're a man, marry a nurse. She took care of me all of my life.
Have you had lingering effects of what happened to you there? Are there any things that you've had to deal with because of those injuries?
My answer is no. I don't know why. I just know that, well, I didn't like the Japanese for a very long time, but I must have gave up that thing because I bought me a Japanese car.
I know that you lived it and you've told the story for a lot of years, but are you ever amazed when you think about everything that happened and you realize that you survived?
No. The only thing I miss now is having that reunion with the ones that have survived. They all knew what I went through.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did, because they knew my story, and I knew their story, where they were at on the ship, and we never could figure out how we all survived.
And that's still a little hard to fathom, isn't it? 75 years ago this week, on April 6th, 1945. There are so many stories from that 82-day battle for Okinawa, and so many who survived it thought they'd be right back in action on mainland Japan. So many have told us over the years they believe the dropping of the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki had the end result of saving their lives. That's all the time we have on Hometown Heroes today. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.